And now we're going back again to April the 2nd and Las Vegas. Sherry Brandy, knee Sharon O'Farrell, arriving home finds Carmel in her living room at 4 in the morning. It doesn't surprise her. He often made these unexpected visits. He seems to enjoy invading other people's territory like some kind of creepy virus.
Darling,
I cried, rushing to kiss him as he expected. I wish the creep would drop dead, I thought, as our mouths met.
An all-night John?
He asked casually.
Yeah, one of those scientists who works at that place out in the desert we're all supposed to pretend we don't know about. A freak.
You wanted something special?
Carmen asked quickly.
You charged him extra?
At times I thought I could really see dollar signs in his eyes.
No,
I said.
He just wanted a lay. But afterward, he wouldn't let me go. He just kept jawing.
I yawned, looking around at the nice furniture and the nice paintings. I'd managed to get everything in shades of pink and lavender, really beautiful. But that creep hadn't been sitting there on the couch looking like a hungry dead rat. I always wanted pretty things, and I think I could have been some kind of artist or designer if all my luck wasn't always lousy. Christ, whoever told Carmel a blue turtleneck would go with a brown suit? If it wasn't for women, in my honest-to-Pete opinion, men would all go around looking like that. That's what I think. Insensitive. A bunch of cavemen, or meander thralls, or whatever you call them.
This John had a lot on his mind,
I said, before old Candy Bar could start cross-examining me about something else.
He's against fluorides in drinking water, and the Catholic Church, and faggots, and he thinks the new birth control pill is as bad as the old one, and I should use a diaphragm instead. Christ, he's got the inside dope on everything under the sun, he thinks, and I had to listen to it all. That kind of a John.
Carmel nodded.
Scientists are schmucks,
he said. I pulled the dress over my head, and I hung it in the closet. It was the nice green one with the spangles, and the new style where my nipples stick out through little holes, which is a pain in the ass because they're always rubbing against something and getting raw. But it really turns on the Johns. And like I always say, that's the name of the game in this son-of-a-bitching town with all the lousy luck. The only way to heavy scratch is to go out there, girl, and sell your snatch. And then I grabbed my robe quick before old blowjob Bobo decided it was time for his weekly Frenching.
He's got a nice house, though,
I said to distract the creep.
He doesn't have to live out there on the base. He's too important for rules and regularities. Nice to look at, I mean. Redwood walls and burnt orange decor, you know? Pretty. He hates it, though. Acts as if he thinks it's haunted by Count Frankenstein or somebody. Keeps jumping up and walking around like he's looking for something. Something that'll bite his head off in one gulp if he finds it.
I decided to let the top of the robe hang open a little. Carmel was either horny or he wanted something else, and something else with him generally means he thinks you've been holding back some cash. Him and his damned belt. Of course, sometimes with that I go queer all over for a flash, and I guess that's like the cum that men have, the orgasm. But it ain't worth the pain, believe me. I wonder if it's true some women get it in intercourse, really get it. I don't think so. I've never known anybody in the business who gets it from a man. Only from Rosie Palm and her five sisters sometimes. And if none of us do, how could come straight, nicey-nicey get it?
Bugs,
Carmel said, looking shrewd and clever, often his usual shtick of proving he was more hip to everything than anybody else on God's green earth. I didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
What do you mean, bugs?
I asked. It was better than talking about money.
The John,
he said with a know-it-all grin.
He's important, you said. So his house has bugs. He probably keeps taking them out, and the FBI keeps coming back and putting in new ones. I bet he was very quiet when he was making it with you, right?
I nodded, remembering.
See? He couldn't stand the thought of those feds eavesdropping on the other end of the wire, just like like a guy I know in the syndicate. He's so afraid of bugs, he won't hold a business talk anywhere but in the bathroom with his hotel suite with all four faucets going full blast and both of us whispering. Running water screws up a bug more than playing loud music on the radio for some scientific reason.
Bugs!
I said suddenly.
That's it!
The other kind of bugs. I was remembering Charlie raving about fluoridation.
And we're all classified as mental cases because a few right-wing nuts 15 or 20 years ago who said fluoridation was a communist plot to poison us? Now, anybody who criticizes fluoridation is supposed to be just as bananas as God's lightning. Good Lord, if anybody wants to do us in without firing a shot, I could...
And he caught himself, hit something that almost showed on his face and ended like his brain was walking on one foot.
I could point to a dozen things in any chemistry book more effective than fluoride.
And he wasn't thinking of chemicals. He was thinking of those little bugs, microbes is the word. And that's what he was working on. I could feel that flash I always get when I read something in a journal. Like if he had more money than he let on, or he'd caught his wife spreading for the milkman and was doing it to get even. Or he's really a fagola and was just proving to himself that he wasn't completely a fagola.
My God!
I said.
Carmel, I read about those microbe bugs in the Enquirer. If they have an accident out there, this whole town goes, and the state with it, and God knows how many other states. Jesus, no wonder he keeps washing his hands.
Germ warfare,
Carmel said, thinking fast.
God, I'll bet this town's crawling with Russian spies trying to find out what's going on out here. And I've got a direct lead for him. But how the hell do you meet a Russian spy, or a Chinese spy, for that matter? You just can't advertise in a newspaper. Hell, maybe if I went down to the university and talked to some of those freaking commie students.
I was shocked.
Carmel, you can't sell your own country like that.
The hell I can't. The Statue of Liberty is just another broad, and I'll take what I can get for it. Don't be a fool.
He reached in his jacket pocket and took out a caramel candy like he always did when he was excited.
I bet somebody on the mob will know. They know everything. Jesus, there has to be some way of cashing in on this.
The President's actual television broadcast was transmitted to the world at 10:30 p.m. EST, March 31. The Russians and Chinese were given 24 hours to get out of Fernando Po, or the skies over Santa Isabel would begin raining nuclear missiles.
This is darn serious,
the chief executive said.
And America will not shirk in its responsibility to the freedom-loving people of Fernando Po.
The broadcast concluded at 11 p.m. EST, and within 2 minutes, people attempting to get reservations on trains, planes, buses, or carpools to Canada had virtually every telephone wire in the country overloaded. In Moscow, where it was 10 the next morning, the Premier called a conference and said crisply,
"That character in Washington is a mental lunatic, and he means it. Get our men out of Fernando Po right away, then find out who authorized sending them in there in the first place and transfer him to be supervisor of a hydroelectric works in Outer Mongolia. We don't have any men in Fernando Po. The Americans are imagining things again." Well, how the hell can we withdraw our men if we don't have them there in the first place?
The Premier demanded.
I don't know. We've got 24 hours to figure that out, or...
The Commissar quoted an old Russian proverb which means, roughly, that when the polar bear excrement interferes with the fan belts, the machinery overheats.
Suppose we just announce that our troops are coming out,
another commissar suggested.
They can't say we're lying if they don't find any of our troops there afterward. No, they never believe anything we say. They want to be shown,
the Premier said thoughtfully.
We will have to infiltrate some troops surreptitiously and then withdraw them with a lot of fanfare and publicity. That should do it. I'm afraid it won't end the problem,
another commissar said funereally.
Our intelligence indicates that there are Chinese troops there. Unless Peking backs down, we're going to be caught in the middle when the bombs start flying and...
He quoted a proverb about the man in the intersection when two manure trucks collide.
Damn,
the Premier said.
What the blue blazes do the Chinese want with Fernando Po?
He was harassed, but still he spoke with authority. He was, in fact, characteristic of the best type of dominant male in the world at this time. He was 55 years old, tough, shrewd, unburdened by the complicated ethical ambiguities which puzzle intellectuals, and had long ago decided that the world was a mean son of a bitch, in which only the most cunning and ruthless can survive. He was also as kind as was possible for one holding that ultra-Darwinian philosophy. And he genuinely loved children and dogs, unless they were on the site of something that had to be bombed in the national interest. He still retained some sense of humour, despite the burdens of his almost godly office. And although he had been impotent with his wife for nearly 10 years now, he generally achieved orgasm in the mouth of a skilled prostitute within 1.5 minutes. He took amphetamine PEP pills to keep going on his gruelling 20-hour day, with the result that his vision of the world was somewhat skewed in a paranoid direction. And he took tranquilizers to keep from worrying too much, with the result that his detachment sometimes bordered on schizophrenia. But most of the time, his innate shrewdness gave him a fingernail grip on reality. In short, he was much like the rulers of America and China.